Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
This show is brought to you by Doc Sports Services. Listen In with KNN, presented by Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. We'll be talking all things NBA with a man that knows his basketball pretty well. Yes, ESPN's very own NBA reporter, Chris Haynes, is in the building. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag Listen In with KNN.
It's time to recognize those individuals that are doing good in the community and making a difference in the sports world. Without further ado, Kelsey presents this week's Do Good Sportsperson Award nominee.
It's now time for my Kelsey's Do Good Sportsperson of the Week. That's right, we're back and better than ever, and I am proud to welcome in author Malik Washington onto the show. Malik, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Very glad to have you on. And Malik, I have to say I commend you because I say it all the time. I don't see enough people reading anymore. I just feel like everyone is into their tablets and their smartphone devices, and we're not actually reading. So tell me a little bit about how you became an author and a little bit about your background.
Okay, so I have always loved to write, and when I was a senior in high school, my grandfather passed away, and he had dreamed of making a, you know, kids book with, you know, my brother and my sister. So after he passed away, I decided to carry on his dream, and he had always dreamed of, you know, making that, you know, book. So I decided to write a book called Be a Star for him.
And oh, that's so wonderful.
Yeah, so during high school, I studied how these books are made, and I spent months and months grinding it out, trying to learn how the rhyme and, like, you know, how the flow of a kid's book is. And then in about 5 months, I completed the book.
Wow, that's amazing. And now you're an author, so you get to add that to your list of things that you do. And I understand this is a children's book, right? But I feel like what, from what I've read and researched, it's a book that you think adults and children can both benefit from and, of course, read and enjoy.
Yes, absolutely.
Cool. All right, so Be a Star. So I understand that you have Phoenix Suns guard Devin Booker in this book, and I guess that's kind of where the sports hook came in. So tell me a little bit more about the book and how does he kind of tie in? I'm sure all the Phoenix Suns fans are going crazy right now that they get to read more about him.
Right. So Devin is a star, you know, in basketball and in life. So I thought that it would be good for kids, especially out there by where I live in Phoenix, to have a person like Devin in the book, you know. So he's a, you know, hometown star, and, like, you know, so I make Devin the teacher in the book, you know. And I got to meet Devin last year, and
very cool.
We became friends afterwards, and, you know, yeah, Devin is a fantastic guy.
Wow. And so you said he's the teacher in the book. So tell me a little bit more about what is the book exactly about without giving too much away, of course, because we want people to go buy it and support you.
Okay. This book, Be a Star. Okay, so, you know, all kids need the seeds grown into them that will help them become like, you know, successful in life. So,
right.
You know, this book is meant to insert the core success values that I've learned in life by hard work, by taking care of your folks, of your family, by believing in yourself,
mm-hmm.
and being a good person, and to know that we are all our own unique stars. So that is what this book is about, and it has a, like, you know, run to it.
Wow, wonderful. And so I understand you're doing book signings, so tell me a little bit more information about the book signings and where people can hopefully see you and come, you know, get their copy of the book.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Bernard for, you know, he is the owner of the Herbrombi Books and Artwork Store here
mm-hmm.
in Alexandria. I want to thank the National Alliance of African American Athletes and my friend and mentor, Ed Ransom. And, like, you know.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I want to thank you too, Kelsey, for making this day possible. So,
yeah,
So, for the people who want to come out to this signing today, it is from 3 to 5:30 p.m. at the Kate Waller Barrett Branch Library.
Wonderful. Today. All right, so you can say it one more time so we can make sure people have the information. It's at the where?
Yes, it is at the Kate. It's at the Kate Waller Barrett Branch Library. That is
perfect.
At 717 Queen Street.
Perfect, in Alexandria.
Yes.
Perfect. So thank you so much again for that. And then if people want to buy the book online, can they get it online on Amazon, or where can people find the book to order it?
Yes, they can find the book on Amazon.com. Just type in Be a Star, Washington, and they will find it on there. Be a Star. Yeah, Be a Star, and then type in my last name, which is Washington.
Washington.
It'll pop up.
Perfect. So you guys heard it here first. Be a Star. Type that in Amazon. Get your copy of this book by the fabulous author, Mr. Malik Washington, and to all my fellow 90s baby, that should be easy to remember. I don't know why, but Life Size came to mind in the Be a Star song. But be sure to check out his book. He's doing positive things in the community. We need more of this. And, of course, making sure he highlights the positive work that athletes are doing. So, Malik, thank you again so much for joining me, and congratulations again for being awarded as my Kelsey's Do Good Sports Person of the Week.
No problem. Thank you, Kelsey. You know, it was awesome.
Yeah, no problem. And to everyone listening, stay tuned for this quick commercial break, and we will be right back.
Jerry's Burger Spot has all your Friday night tailgating favorites. From their never-frozen burger, fresh-cut fries, ice cream, and milkshakes, Jerry's Burger Spot offers the best lunch. And if you desire a fresh handmade burger or some delicious ice cream like Mom used to make, stop by Jerry's Burger Spot at 3815 Jefferson Park Road, Prince George, Virginia, right off 36 near Fort Lee. Jerry's Burger Spot. Remember when.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district and beyond. It's now time to get into the show and welcome in the one and only ESPN's NBA reporter, Mr. Chris Haynes. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing fine. It's just a pleasure, an extreme pleasure.
Thank you for your gratitude.
To be a guest on your show, obviously, your guest list was probably... probably went really down on the totem pole. So I appreciate you for thinking about it.
I appreciate your kind words. I'm just glad to be on your schedule. I know you're busy getting all the latest news from all your sources, but Chris, it's a pleasure
to have you. I had to bring you on. NBA season is around the corner. All everyone is talking about is the NBA. But before we get into the show, Chris, tell me a little bit about you and how you got into your career.
Man, into this business? Wow.
Yes, into this business. Because you're my first guest that didn't send me a bio, so you get to introduce yourself.
Yeah, well, man, God, I'll try to condense it. But obviously, I had a passion for basketball, and you know, I played college ball at Fresno Pacific University, Multnomah University, and you know, I thought so, but
hey, you're good.
Well, it wasn't good enough for NBA scouts to give me a legitimate look. So, what I think and what they're thinking two totally different things, and it's more important what they think. So,
that's true. That's very true.
Yeah. So obviously that didn't pan out, but I want to be around basketball. So you know, long story short, I reached out to some publications soon after college and told my, you know, I had aspirations of covering the NBA, and you know, I reached out to a bunch of colleagues, people I respect in this business, and you know, the advice they gave me was that, look, you have to cover high school sports for about 5 years, dominate that beat, move up to college, do that for another 5 years. Then you work yourself way up to the pros. Well, I had no desire to go that route. I didn't want to cover college. I didn't want to cover high school. And so basically, long story short, I reached out to Slam Magazine and his website called ProBasketballNews.com at the time. And I told him I wanted to write for your publication. They didn't, they couldn't offer me any money, but they said they'll credential me to games.
Yeah.
And so I moved to Portland, covered the Blazers, did my thing for a year, working for free while working as a security guard, as my full-time gig. And then NBC Sports Northwest, which was Comcast Sports Northwest at the time, they ended up hiring me, signed me to a 3-year deal to cover the Blazers, and covered the Blazers for 3 or 4 years. Then I moved to Cleveland, covered the Cavs when LeBron went back to Cleveland, covered the Cavs for 2 years.
And what is that?
Then after that, I went to ESPN, moved to the Bay. And so in a nutshell, that's kind of how it went down.
And the rest is history. Well, I love you for sharing your story. And Chris, we connected recently at the NABJ conference, the National Association of Black Journalists. And just from your story, I feel like, what takeaway would you give young journalists who like look up to someone like you and want to be in your shoes one day?
Well, look, man, I think if you really want to prosper in this business, like, you really got to have a work ethic. And I know people think they have a work ethic. They think they know what it takes to have a work ethic. But look, this job is not a 9-to-5. This is not something you can go home and just cut everything off and go back in the next morning. It's not like that. If you want to really thrive in this business, because you have to understand, our business, it's in bad shape. Publications are folding. There's layoffs left and right. So if you're going to have sustainability in this field, you're going to have to be able to stick out from the crowd. And that's providing unique content. Whether you're an awesome storyteller, whether you're awesome at breaking news and gathering sources, whether you're awesome at being an enterprise specialist. You know, whatever your field is, whatever your niche is, your strength, you have to be the top. One of the top people at that aspect of the field. So just the work ethic and knowing you have to really put in your all. And you know, a lot of times you're not going to get paid a lot initially.
Right. To do it.
For a lot of people, they go their whole career and don't get paid a lot. So it's like the pros. In this field, it's like the pros. You know, only a few make it to the NBA, the NFL, the MLB. You got to really stand out. So if you really got that work ethic and really have a passion to be the best at your craft, then this field, you can do something there.
Yeah. You know, Chris, hearing you talk, I can see a book deal in your future. The memoir.
A couple books.
See?
In the works.
I already knew it. I could tell.
In the works.
I have a good thing for telling things for the future. But, Chris, we have to talk basketball. I know you're on the West Coast, but I like to start my show with I do want to dig into the D&D segment and talking some hoops here in D.C. Dwight Howard has been in the headlines recently. Of course, he is one of the newest members of the Washington Wizards squad. And I know this probably comes as a surprise to you too, Chris, but he made headlines basically saying to his trainer that he wants to play in the NBA until he's 40 years old. Now, I know this is probably going to get a lot of response from you, but just when you hear that, let's just start with that. When you hear that from Dwight Howard, we're like, what were your initial thoughts when that news came out?
Well, you know, that first of all, that's going to be tough. Not because I don't believe in Dwight, that he can, you know, have staying power, but, you know, he's a traditional big right now. And the way the NBA is going, it's a lot of small ball. You know, centers are kind of extinct. Nowadays, you know, if you're 6'10 or 6'11, you have to be able to step outside and face the basket and shoot the outside shot. Yeah, so it's going to be tough. You know, if he would have said that when the NBA was thriving as having and having traditional bigs, if he would have said that then, then I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe he can. Because, you know, defensively, you know, you're always going to, you know, have to have a tree standing in the paint, you know, to turn shots. So it's just a different time. And so, I mean, I wish him all the best, man. I think it should be a pretty good fit. There in Washington, I'm kind of concerned about the personalities there in that locker room, but you know, I think, like, it's the NBA. You know, we love drama, so, you know, we'll see what happens.
We do. You talked about the personalities in the locker room, and so when it covers the teams here, I know you must be referencing our John Wall, our superstar here, and Bradley Beal. Is that what you're talking about in terms of personalities?
No, of course, of course. Then you add in the Dwight Howard dynamic, and I got the first interview with Dwight once the trade was official. No, this was when did I get Dwight? I got him when it was right when he was traded. Yeah, it was right before he signed with the Wizards, and it, you know, he was just talking about the negative perception that's, you know, that's around, you know, his name, that's been around his name for years to come.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how he's looking forward to changing that narrative. And I think what the problem with that is, like, people have kind of heard that before. It's like, oh, here we go again. Like, you know, now you say he wants to retire as a Wizard. But, you know, the older you get, and, you know, he's been traded, what, four times in the last
years?
Yeah, he's been moved that many times. So, I mean, you hope he gets humbled and, you know, and finds a way to make this work out, because he's running out of chances. And like I said, and being a traditional big, there's just not a lot of opportunities out there for you. So, you know, that's why I want things to work out for him.
And I agree with you. I feel like, as you said, I mean, the game has really lost the position of center. It's not what it used to be in basketball. But I think in Washington, and I hope it works out, I really do, Chris, because Washington needs some love. We need some of that cap moment to run up on the Washington Wizards here. But I think if he can play, let's say, old Dwight Howard, not that he's going to get back to that. I know I'm not going to see Superman here in Washington. But at least if he can be just consistent enough to help Bradley Beal and John Wall, like Ortiz did, I think the Wizards can actually hopefully do something in the East. And I'm not saying they're going to win the East or anything, but hopefully they can make some more noise in the East. Is that too hopeful, Chris? Am I hoping for too much?
No, I think that's the expectation. I think with LeBron James migrating west, the East is pretty wide open, even though it's wide open. But look, Boston is going to be a problem.
Yeah, period. They're going to be nice.
And I still would pick Boston to come out the East. But look, man, if Washington can establish some chemistry with Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, Kelly Oubre, Dwight Howard, like, they have a nice core. They got a nice core guys. They just haven't been able to make it work. And sometimes those personalities in that locker room have landed to translate into on the court. Bad chemistry, and we all seen that play out with John Wall and Marcin Gortat past couple of years. So, you know, look, it's going to be tough, man. But look, I like the gamble Washington's taking. They're trying to win and compete now, and even though Dwight Howard, there are some question marks, they still pulled the trigger and said, we're going to see what we can do. So I got to give them props for that.
All right, good. You're making us at least have somewhat of a smile, Chris, here in Washington. And, of course, the Wizards also added Jeff Green, who a lot of people in the area are happy about being a Georgetown man himself. Do you think he's going to add any dynamic to the Washington Wizards? Does he help the Wizards bench? I mean, what are you thinking from that side?
Not sure, you know, to be honest. I'm not sure.
Okay.
You know, they have a – they have a nice core there, and it's going to be kind of difficult to kind of infiltrate that rotation. Nice young prospect, but yeah, I'm just not sure what he can provide right now. But obviously, okay. I think he's going to have opportunity to play at least early on. So you know, his development is one of the, definitely one of the young players I'm looking into this season.
Okay, good. Hearing that from you, I'm feeling more positive. This is good news. And I have to give back, though, to Dwight Howard, because something Dwight Howard, Chris, he made in the headlines. So he also said to his friend that he wants to evolve into Anthony Davis, of course, we know with the New Orleans Pelicans, and into Kevin Durant with the Golden State Warriors, but he said his own version of that. So when he said this, of course, everyone pretty much on social media went crazy. But, I mean, is there hope that he can at least become somewhat a glimpse of these players?
Now, he said that?
Yes. To his trainer, Justin Gamelo. If I'm not making this stuff up. Yes.
Yeah, his trainer said he said that. Yeah.
And they knew on social media, because Dwight Howard said, anytime you put your names with Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis, I think there's always going to be some social media backlash, especially with the way Dwight Howard's career has been. But I wasn't completely mad that he said that.
No, I just would like to hear Dwight say it in the context that, I just like to hear him say it and what context he meant. I think that when you're talking about Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, those are supreme players, man. Those are supreme versatile players. So it's kind of hard to fathom Dwight Howard evolving and transitioning his skill set to primarily a back to the basket player to somebody who can pretty much do it all on the basketball court. So I have to hear Dwight and how he said it in the context. But, last season he started taking more jumpers. He made more jump shots than he's made his whole career. So he's trying to expand his game. He's trying to change with the times. I just don't know if he's going to be able to do it effective enough to be able to, to just play a lot of minutes playing a run-and-gun style that a lot of teams are playing now.
Right, and that's the question, Only time will tell. But I do hope Dwight Howard has a very good season in Washington, because he has a lot of naysayers. I want them to shut them up, and I really do hope he helps this Washington Wizards squad, because we here in D.C. are tired of being sick and tired, quite frankly, Chris. So I'm wishing the best for Dwight Howard. Now, we have to get the top headlines in sports. The NBA schedule was released. Everyone's talking about it because the back-to-backs are at a historic low for the fourth consecutive season. Class to that. And then no 4 and 5 for a second straight season. So first of all, when you heard the no 4 and 5 for a second straight season, and I know from you covering NBA players, I know this is lots of joy to them and lots of gladness. Do you think they got it right this year with the NBA schedule?
Yeah, I think it's on par with what happened last season. Did they get it right? I think they're doing their best. Some NBA players will complain that they need to trim the regular season, trim the 82 games to, something lower.
What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know that we need 82 games. But okay. Those are my thoughts. But the problem is, players can talk about limiting 82 games, and you're not going to hear owners talk about limiting, going to live it down because, obvious reasons, but this is my thing. I know players, I talked to a couple of players recently. They were talking about, man, a season, starting up really quick already. We're starting in September now. September all the way to June. And that's if you're a team and it's going to be in contention. You can play up until June. And so really for a team like the Warriors and the Cavs, the Cavs don't have to worry about this now, but, that's a short break. That's a really short break. And then if you involve with Team USA and things like that, it really cramps into your summer vacation. So, look, I think it needs to be doing it a little bit just for the players and their body. I just don't know the true impact of guys playing year-round like they are now. And guys aren't stopping in the summer. They're playing in these leagues. I don't know if you watched the Drew League and watched Jamal Crawford's pro-am or
right
Brunson League.
It's constant.
It's constant, and they really go at it. Because one thing about these players, when they play in these leagues, they got to show out. They can't come out there and be in lackadaisical. Like Denzel Valentine went to the Drew League a couple weeks ago and got showed out. Like he got showed up. And that leaves a negative. I think it leaves a negative stain. So when they play, they got to go out there and bring it. So I don't know, man. I don't know if we're ever going to reach a true viable resolution. But look, the NBA is doing all they can to try to make it work within the parameters of an 82-game schedule. Eliminating back-to-back, you know, in its totality would be great. But then you're probably extending the season.
And it goes longer.
That way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know if there's really a true answer to that.
Yeah, it's a tough one, but I'm like you. I think for now, I think we can get along with this one. I know the players want more, and I think Adam Silver is doing what he needs to do to hopefully reach that point. But then we also have to be realistic and remember the bottom line. So I think that's kind of what it comes back down to. But
you know what?
Yeah.
Something just came to my head right now. Like,
yeah.
Maybe the final four teams that are left in the postseason, maybe they get to start the NBA season like a week and a half later. You know, I don't know if that is
much damage.
Yeah, like, you know, have them start later. You know, give them a bye week. Give them a bye week the first point of the season. You know, since, you know, because it's really, like, you think about it, like, a lot of teams, their season is done in April.
Right.
And then you got teams playing depending on how deep the series goes in the finals, you're playing into late June.
Right.
So, you know, but look, at the end of the day, I don't know if that solves everything, but I'm just throwing out suggestions.
It's something. Hey, you don't have to add NBA consultants to your resume now. I mean, you're giving some good suggestions that I might really have to look at. I'm not mad at it, and I have to listen to this, because that's a good point. That's a good point. And that's doable. That's nothing that I don't think is too drastic for them to do. So that's why I really think that's something that's plausible. So who knows? Maybe we'll see that in the next season. And Chris, I mean, everyone's talking about the notable games this season. We have Warriors at the Rockets November 16th. I know everyone marked that down. Lakers at Cavs November 21st. Raptors at Spurs January 3rd. Lakers at Celtics February 7th. And Spurs at Raptors February 22nd. Chris, I don't know about you, but I'm still trying to get used to seeing LeBron in this Lakers jersey. I'm very excited for that Lakers at Cavaliers game, November 21st.
Yeah, no, that's gonna be intriguing. You know, LeBron gave the fans a glimpse of what he looked like in that Lakers jersey a couple days ago.
Yeah.
I think Cleveland will do him well on his coming home, his coming home party. This time around, I remember last year, you know, there was batteries, literal batteries thrown on the floor when he was
in Miami,
when he was at Cleveland. So I think he'll get the reception that he deserves finally going back. So it'll be pretty cool.
But in terms of like the basketball competition, do the Cavs have even what it takes to really make this an interesting game in your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, yeah, I really do. You know, they're playing for pride, and obviously they'll be at home. But I mean, LeBron, if you look at the teams, like I covered that team when he first got back to Cleveland. When there was Deion Waiters there, Kyrie Irving, you know, some young guys, and they struggled a little bit. You know, it was a learning curve. So that's still early in the season to where I think the Lakers will probably still be going through their lumps, and that's the perfect opportunity for Cleveland because they're riled up. They want to try to dim the light on this LeBron homecoming. So, you know, they'll be pumped up and ready to go. So, yeah, I think there's a chance that game could be competitive, and I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland beat them. You know, that's it. Yeah, I wouldn't be. You know, I think, you know, LeBron will put on the show, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. Cleveland's still, they're still a squad that's going to be in the thick of things in the playoffs. You know, I think they'll be in the middle of the pack. Yeah, I think they'll be in the middle of the pack. And I really like – his name is slipping my mind right now, but I really like that stud rookie point guard they picked up in the draft. He was one of the bright spots of summer league. So,
promising.
Solid.
All right, well, good. See, if we hear it from you, then we know it's probably going to come true.
Sometimes, or some day. Clock strikes – what's the saying? The clock strikes clock is right. Just end it. Let's forget it. Forget it. I messed it up.
I was trying to give you a chance to finish it out, but it's okay. I'll act like we didn't hear
it. Move on.
But moving
UConn. Awesome Warriors at Rockets. I think everyone and their mom is still trying to get used to the fact that Carmelo Anthony will be in a Rockets jersey. And I know he didn't want to come off the bench, but yeah, probably coming off the bench. Are you excited for that one?
I was more excited last year. I was more excited last year because the Rockets actually put a team together, and they put the personnel together that can really match up and give Golden State fits. You know, before you know, years prior, it was all about trying to outscore the opponent, trying to run a fast-paced offense, outscore, shoot a ton of threes. Well, they still do that. They still shoot a ton of threes. But then when they went after P.J. Tucker, Luke Mute, who was somebody else they had? They already had Trevor Reeser in the fold. Like, now you've got perimeter defenders who can switch pretty much everything. And that's how Golden State – now, people talk about Stephen Curry, his emergence, and Klay Thompson, how he's evolved. But what separated Golden State from everybody else is that when they inserted Andre Iguodala into that lineup, you have a lineup that could switch defensively everything. Okay. And that's such an advantage because there's no weakness. Because, in the heavy pick-and-roll game of the NBA, the pick-and-roll is, obviously they want to exploit certain people, but it's also about getting the mismatch. When you're setting a pick, you're setting a pick and trying to bring that big man over to come and cover you. Well, if Golden State doesn't have a big man, and then, the big man for Golden State is Draymond Green a lot of times. And so when you set that pick and bring in Draymond out, that's not an advantage necessarily. Draymond's one of the best defenders in the league. And so that's why they've been so potent. And that's what Houston adapted to last season when they had all those guys who can rotate and switch everything. And now they lost Trevor Ariza. They lost Monte. And now you're bringing in Jeff Ennis, who I think is solid. And then Carmelo, who I don't think helps him defensively at all. So I'm not really – I think they took a step back. I think they took a step back from last year. That's why I'm not really so high on them. But, look, I think it would be an interesting game nonetheless.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting. But I'm like you. When they lost Trevor Ariza, I thought he was such a key piece of that, undervalued piece of that team. But I still think they have a solid piece of that. But as you said, Carmelo's not giving you any defense. And hopefully the offense, comes back into a certain rhythm. But I'm excited for that game, but it's still, like you said, I don't think it is what it was last season. And before we wrap up the notable games this season, I have to talk about the Raptors at the Spurs. The whole Kawhi Leonard saga, I think we're all trying to get over and figure that out still. But Kawhi in the Raptors uniform, do you think he's going to do damage this season? Or what are you expecting from Kawhi up in Toronto?
I want to see. Everybody wants to see if he's healthy, if he can return to his all-star form. Going back to San Antonio, San Antonio's never really had to experience anything like this. There have been a lot of players who have left San Antonio, but there haven't been a lot of great players who've left San Antonio. And so they've never really had to experience like a Tim Duncan coming back. They never experienced David Robinson coming back as an Atlanta Hawk and the reception, and this was kind of, this relationship was ended on bad terms. And so, San Antonio, what do you got? Like fans, what you got? Like, so I want to see what they got. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of booing. And I want to see how the San Antonio Spurs fans boo. We never really seen that before, So I'm looking forward just to seeing how the atmosphere is going to be. And I plan on being at that. And that's definitely one of the marquee games of the season.
Oh, for sure. And that San Antonio fan base is different, too. So I'm like, I'm really keying in on how they react to that. Especially because I don't think Kawhi is it. He's not your big mouth smash talk player, but it's going to be a lot of passion and a lot of aggression in that game. And as you said, especially if you can stay healthy, I'm really looking forward to him with the Raptors.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not a lot of, if you're thinking about homecoming, there's really not a lot of, Kawhi going to San Antonio, that's going to be one because, Kawhi is not going to say anything like to kind of ramp up that game. It's really going to be about how are the Spurs fans going to react? How are they going to receive him? And I think obviously when DeMar goes back to Toronto, he's just going to get a standing ovation. LeBron goes back to Cleveland, is going to be a standing ovation. But there's really not any bad blood. Like there's no Durant going back to OKC type situations. Maybe San Antonio has the, maybe San Antonio can pull something like that off, but I doubt it.
Yeah, it'll be different. See, now you have, I can't wait. The year needs to go quicker. But Chris, I always love to end my show with my Woman Crush Everyday segment because I love showing love to women's sports. And in the WNBA, it was announced this week that 36-year-old Lindsay Whalen is about to finish her 15th season, and she's set to begin her first year as head coach of the women's team at the University of Minnesota. Whalen is just an incredible overall player, 477 games, 5,501 points, 2,337 assists, the most in Minnesota Lynx history, a third most in league history. Chris, I mean, what do you think the game is going to miss about Lindsay Whalen the most? And just all that she's gave to the WNBA and, of course, her team, the Minnesota Lynx, that she will be retiring with?
No, just her competitiveness. You know, not the fastest, not the quickest, not the most athletic, but she knew how to get to her spots. And she reminds me of like Gary Payton when Gary Payton was playing. Obviously, Payton was a better offensive scorer, but Payton could get to his spots. He knew how to maneuver, and he was crafty enough to just make plays. And, you know, she's a winner, point blank. She's a winner, a vet. Like when you think of a true vet in the WNBA, you have to think of her. And you know, I was at WNBA game, let me see, a couple weeks ago, watching the Sparks.
Okay.
And I love it. It seems like we're finally giving some love to the WNBA.
Yes.
I do want to see their travel conditions improve. We saw what happened, you know, with the team
with
flying
the
to D.C. Yeah.
Yes.
And so I would, you know, hopefully we could find a resolution to where they wouldn't have to fly in those conditions and get more adequate to the NBA.
Yeah.
And so, but it's good that you're giving love to WNBA because my favorite player
always
is Candace Parker. My favorite player, man. 6'5", 6'6", point guards, do everything.
She
man.
Can do it
so
all.
I love the WNBA, so much props, and I hope the league continues to thrive, and I hope that people give it a shot.
Perfect, Chris. I love it. Now, I mean, you said everything I needed to say. So that is perfect. Honestly, I love that you support the NBA. I'm a big fan of everybody supporting the NBA, but the WNBA, but especially with people in your position and especially to have men supporting it, I think that's what the game needs, and I think you said it best. I think they do need some more love from their NBA counterparts. And some more partnership. And as you said, you hope the travel conditions improve because I don't think any professional league should be dealing with anything like that. That was a sad, sad thing to see that game canceled. But thank you for sharing your thoughts and thank you for coming on. It's been a blast. All right, that's a wrap for this edition of Listen In with K&N. I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio.